have been trying forever to record this Game of Thrones review, season 8, episode 4. We only have 2 shows remaining. I have not been doing any reviews, clearly, but I felt moved to do this one. And I'm sure if you're like me, a diehard Game of Thrones fan, you have probably looked at so many reviews. And so this is not one of those in-depth reviews where I'm giving you any insight from reading the books, because I've never read the books. This is just my take on episode 4 of season 8, because some things stood out to me that I just wanted to talk about. So thank you for listening to this episode of Sandy's Two Cents called As the Thrones Turn, because it was a lot of soap opera level drama in this one. So sit back and enjoy. Okay, I really want to talk about a few things in this review. I want to talk about the over-the-top romantic entanglements we saw in this episode, that I don't know if the writers were really doing that just to try to make us care more, as if we could care more, but to care more about these characters and what's about to happen to them in the next 2 episodes, because it was just a lot of, you know, soap opera like Real Housewives of Winterfell. It was just a lot. It was just a lot going on. So I want to talk about that. Also want to talk about where it looks like we might be going with Daenerys' character. Far as, like, I don't know, maybe the writers are trying to make her appear to us as mad. And then I would also like to talk a bit about Tyrion. And so, yeah, let's just jump in. Okay, let's just get the romantic, the over-the-top romantic BS out the way. So we have Gendry and Arya. He proposes to her. She, of course, rejects his proposal because Arya is clearly not cut out to be the lady of anybody at any location, anywhere, because that is not, as she told him, that is not her. That is not who she is. So he gets his little feelings hurt, and he's disappointed that she rejected his proposal. Then we have Tormund, of course, who is so brokenhearted because he has had his eye on Brienne for a while. He really, 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 really feels some kind of way about her, and he tried to make that move, and Jamie cock-blocked him, and so, you know, he's just heartbroken. He's just so heartbroken that he was so close and yet so far, and he wasn't able to make that happen. So then, speaking of Jamie and Brienne hook up. Brienne loses her virginity, and they say, you know, that a lot of fans really wanted to see these two get together. I am not one of those fans. I never watched them over the seasons and thought that there was like some wow, like romantic chemistry, or I just never got that from them. And I never had any desire to see them get together. And when they finally got together, that first kiss, which was like, yuck, it was awkward. It was, to me, it was just uncomfortable. It was just like, no, it was just uncomfortable. It was like watching that kiss from many years ago with Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley, or the kiss between Al Gore and his wife Tipper Gore. It was just, I mean, you got to be older to get those references, but it was just yucky to me. It was just disgusting. I didn't see what the big whoop was, and like, oh my God, they finally got together. It was like, no, why are y'all doing this? Stop it. So then we have, of course, we have Grey Worm and Missandei. This is the real relationship out of all of this foolishness. And of course, This one was, I almost shouldn't group it with these other expressions of love or romantic interest, because this was the real deal. And of course, it ended very tragically when she was, Masande was executed. But that, of course, we saw that. We saw them holding hands on the ship as they were heading towards King's Landing, and they were so in love and, you know, I guess still hopeful for the future, even after everything they've been through. And then that ended the way it ended, with Masande being executed. And of course, we have Daenerys and Jon Snow. Now, this one was really, really over the top. Very melodramatic, I felt, for this episode. And I personally, all of the pleas from Daenerys to Jon about, you know, them being together, and how she wished she had, that she wished she didn't know what she knew about, you know, who he was, because then she would be happy right now, because things would be as they had been, and how she professes her love and care for him, and how that is why it's so important that he keeps his identity secret, because if he tells, it will destroy them, and all of this pleading. Personally, I don't believe any of this pleading is coming from a place of love. I think this is coming from a place of manipulation. John sometimes is a little slow on the uptake with certain things like this. So I don't know if he's that. I believe it seems like he's believing her pleas are about the things that she says they are about, especially like, you know, her feelings towards him. He has to be smart enough that a large part of that concern is just him probably getting, well, he has to know that a large part of these pleas is about the thought that he would actually get the throne that she has been fighting for, because he is actually the real heir to the throne. But anyway, it was just over the top with her expressions. To me, it was out of character for who she was, to be this desperate pleading person. However, I think in the beginning of when this episode opened, when she was whispering to Euron about, you know, well, she was whispering, we didn't know what she was whispering about. I think she was telling him that she was going to take his advice, because remember, he gave her advice to basically try to get closer to Sansa and that type of thing. Remember that? And she went in there and she had a conversation with her and was doing like the whole girlfriend thing. And, you know, they were laughing until they weren't, because at the end of the day, Sansa wanted to know what's up, what's going to be up with the North when we get through fighting these dead things. And so, but she turned it on really well to try to get Sansa to kind of chill out and accept her. I think she was doing that very same thing with John. And I really believe she was telling him, even though he was deceased, I really think she was telling him that, you know, I am going to follow your advice. So that's a lot of speculation on my part. But let's see, what other romantic drama did we have? I guess you could somewhat say the whole thing with Greyjoy and Cersei, and, you know, when she told him that she was pregnant with their child, which we all know is a lie, but you could tell that this woman utterly, utterly, utterly detests this man. Even when he just touches her, you can almost see her just flinch. She just despises this man. But of course, she's using him because she needs his military, she needs his ships, and she needs him on her side for the battle that is to come. And hey, no harm, no foul, because it's not as if his agenda is pure either. But, you know, so we saw whatever that was during this episode too. I dare not even call that romance, but they were laying that on kind of thick as well. And probably romantic fuckery, I would say, happened during this episode was when between Jon Snow and his direwolf Ghost. Now, when Jon Snow said, you know, I'm gonna send Ghost on with Wildlings so that he can roam free, it'll be better for him, this direwolf actually groaned. the dog, the poor little dog. It's not even a dog, wolf. The wolf was so sad because they are connected. Remember, the dire wolves and their owner, they are connected, like, you know, they are connected spiritually, psychically. They are connected. And when the dog, I keep saying the dog, when the wolf even made that moan, you know, John just looked at him, put his head down, and walked away. As he walked away, there was a scene where the wolf walked for a little bit and just looked at him some more as he walked away. And that was just kind of, I don't know what that was about. I think John could have gave him more. Since we're in the space of you know, we're getting close to the end of the series, and let's kind of just get all the romantic fuckery out there. I think he just could have gave him a little bit more. But so it was a lot of that this episode, and I just found it all to be a little over the top and very unusual for the Game of Thrones. But we are nearing the series end, so maybe this was their way of just trying to put some bows on some things to tidy up some storylines or something. It just still felt weird, and I still would have been 100% good if Jaime and Brienne had never hooked up. Okay, Daenerys, let's talk about Daenerys. You know, I believe they are trying to make us think that Daenerys is going mad. And what I am going to be mad about is if they do that. Daenerys, to me, is, she's mad, not mad, crazy. She's mad, angry, because she should be. And let me tell you why she should be. Daenerys has lost a lot. She has lost two of her damn children, because now she only got one dragon. She started out with three. She has lost Ser Jorah, who, even though she did not romantically love him, this was the man who loved her the most, her confidant. And again, I really do believe when she was whispering to Ser Jorah's deceased body, I think she was telling him, I heard you and I will be taking your advice. And I do think that's what all that pleading to Jon was about, just trying to use the tactic he told her to use, like with Sansa. But I think that this woman has lost a lot. She's lost, basically, is it the Dothraki? She's lost pretty much all of those people. You know, she's lost a lot. She has just lost a whole lot in order to achieve her goal of obtaining the throne. But in the process of her losing a lot, she has also saved a lot of people. None of these people would even be alive today if it were not for her and her dragons. That's just the bottom line. None of these people would be alive today. So I think she has a right to be angry, to know that everything she has fought for is now at risk of being lost, because one, she now knows that Jon Snow is really the rightful heir to the throne. But, you know, that's why she wants him to keep it on the low, keep it hush, because she still wants the throne in spite of that. And it's also, it also has to be annoying as hell to have sacrificed so much and be at a celebration after that kind of battle. After that kind of battle, and remember how she broke down after Ser Jorah died. After that kind of battle, yes, the crowd, they acknowledged her and her dragons. They acknowledged Arya for killing the Night King. Do you understand? They acknowledged Arya for killing the Night King, and they cheered for her killing the Night King. But the prolonged celebration of the night was really about Jon Snow. And so, yeah, if I was Daenerys, I would feel some kind of way about that. So that's why I am going to be very pissed if they try to turn her into mad as in crazy, like the reputation of her family. I am going to be very upset if they do that. But if they do that, then I would probably think, see, this is why I know there are, like, male writers, of course, because they are, in charge of Game of Thrones, because this writing would be symbolic of what actually happens in our culture. The woman does all the work, does goes on the grind, has all of these accolades, and here comes someone who is like in the boys' club, and they want to exalt that person. Now, I'm a Jon Snow fan. I like Jon Snow. I really do. I like Jon Snow a lot. But okay, if we really want to be real about who has earned the throne, who has sacrificed the most for the throne, it's Daenerys. So I really feel some kind of way. I am going to feel some kind of way if they now try to position her like she's somehow crazy. I mean, to me, the fact that when Cersei even had Missandei's head chopped off and she just turned and walked away, that showed control. That showed self-control. If she was mad, like crazy mad, she would have freaked out right then and just would have been reckless. So even when I hear people, other people doing reviews and they say stuff, and normally it's guys doing these reviews who will make comments like, she's too emotional. Y'all, we have been watching Game of Thrones now for 8 seasons, and all the killing and the bloodshed and the raping by the men, what do you call that? Is that not emotional? So why she has to be emotional just because she is rightfully angry? I am not here for it. I am not here for them trying to make it seem like Daenerys is crazy. Daenerys is mad as in angry, and she should be. So I don't know where we're going. I don't know how this is going to end, but I tell you right now, if they try to make it like all of her strength, all of her courage, everything that she has had to overcome over this whole series ended in her just becoming some lunatic, I am going to be pissed. Tyrion fucking Lannister. I believe Tyrion is a rat. I believe he is a rat. I believe he has been working for Cersei for, I won't say the whole time, but definitely from the time of the last season when he went to visit her and when he found out that she was pregnant. Also, you know, that strange look he had on his face when he realized that Jon Snow and Daenerys were in the room, and of course that they were like hooking up. He had a very strange and peculiar look on his face. Even in episode 4, when he said Daenerys loves him and he loves her, it was just a very heavy tone. Let me tell you, this man is up to something. And I feel like, you remember the episode this season when Sansa told him that, I used to think you were one of the most clever persons I knew. I used to think you were so clever, because he was just saying stuff to her that, you know, wasn't rational as far as what they should expect. And I'm just like, all of these indicators is because he is clever. He is, if not the smartest, definitely one of the smartest people on this show as far as strategy and you know, really just strategy. That is his thing, right? His knowledge, his wisdom, how clever he is. That is his thing. So all of a sudden now, pretty much all of his advice sucks. And it's just suspicious to me. I think he's a rat. And while I'm thinking about him, let me just go back to Jon Snow for a moment. Have you guys noticed how in this season, how many references there's been to Jon Snow's height? I mean, Daenerys brought it up when she was faking it with Sansa, like she was trying to be her girlfriend, and was talking about how short he was compared to her past lover. And then a couple of the fellow warriors made comments about how small he was. I just thought that was weird. Not really sure why there were so many lines in this season about Jon Snow's height. Just thought about that since I'm talking about Tyrion. But okay, let's get back to Tyrion. Now, But Tyrion said that, you know, every good leader, and I'm bastardizing exactly what he said, but basically, every good leader instills fear. I think he is definitely afraid of the queen, but I don't think the queen that he's ultimately afraid of is Daenerys. I think it's Cersei. I think he has made some kind of arrangement with Cersei. I think when that ambush happened, and I think he had given Cersei a heads up of to what the strategy was. Because what I also find odd is, how would Cersei know, of all the people she could have took from the ship, including her brother, of all the people she could have taken that would have meant a lot to Daenerys, including her other lieutenants, how did she know Missandei might be the one to take to really get her to potentially either yield and concede to her, surrender to her, or if, unless it's Tyrion's wish to actually do something to make her go, make Daenerys go quote unquote mad. It just was weird to me. How would Cersei know that Missandei would be the one to take that would actually perhaps trigger Daenerys to do what she wanted her to do? Out of all the other important people on that ship, that does not make sense to me. How would she know that? So I believe that Tyrion is a rat. I believe that he keeps talking about, you know, he's referenced Cersei's unborn child. And what we all have to remember is that he did very much love his nephews and his niece. I think he feels some kind of way about putting his sister in any kind of position, especially with her being pregnant, of losing the baby. I think Tyrion is kind of representative of that loyal black sheep. You may know a family or two where somebody in that family who's the black sheep, who ends up being the one that the parents have to depend on to take care of them. And I'm saying the black sheep from the perspective of the family just always treated this kid as less than. Not that the kid, you know, really did anything like just driving the parents crazy, horrible, violent, anything like that. They just kind of treated this kid differently. And I have seen in real life where it's normally that kid who's the one who ends up taking care of the elderly parents where the other kid's going about their life. Now, Tyrion kind of reminds me of that. I think Tyrion is a loyal black sheep. And I think we're going to find out that he has an agreement with Cersei, because another thing, when he walked past Cersei's, which was funny in this episode, when the guy was talking as Cersei's spokesperson and he just walked past him to talk directly to her, and she raised her hand as if she were going to, you know, give the order for him to be executed, but then she didn't. Cersei does not have any feelings for Tyrion like she does for Jaime, where she was just like, oh my gosh, I can't bring myself to kill my brother. That would have been the perfect time for her to kill her brother. Why would she hold back? Why would she hold back on killing Tyrion? And why would he look at her in a way to me like, you know, kind of a little bit nervous, but hoping she's going to honor whatever it is that they've kind of agreed to? No, when she resisted killing him and resisted in a way of like, I just can't bring myself to do it. No, ma'am. Not buying that. So I do believe that Tyrion is working for Cersei. I think he is still being extremely clever, and I think that he is basically, at the end of the day, I think he's looking out for his family, and his family includes Cersei's unborn child. And so if Tyrion has kind of masterminded this whole thing to ultimately have Cersei win or maintain the throne, I am not going to be surprised, because right now, there's absolutely nothing you can tell me until I see these next two episodes about Tyrion. Tyrion is a rat. Tyrion is a rat. Tyrion is up to something. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his demeanor. You can see it in this consecutive bad advice he's given. You can see it in Cersei's resistance to kill him when he's right there and she could kill him. I mean, so she sent out a bounty hunter to kill her brothers. And then when this one happens to show back up because they actually survived the battle, then she doesn't kill him when she hates this man with a passion. I do not, it's definitely not because of no sibling love that she didn't kill him. They have an understanding. They have an agreement. I believe Tyrion and Cersei have an agreement. And when all of that comes out, I think it's going to be hell to pay, but we will have to see how all of that turns out. So that's really all I wanted to say about this episode 4, season 8 of Game of Thrones. Oh, I know this next episode 5 is going to be traumatic. I just know it's going to be traumatic. It may be even more traumatic than episode 3, because episode 3 was traumatic as hell. I felt like I was having panic attacks, and I don't have panic attacks. So I know it's going to be bad, and then we only have one more. I so hate this show is coming to an end. To me, Game of Thrones season 3, I mean not season 3, Game of Thrones episode 3 in particular this season is the best thing I've ever seen, period. It was just fantastic. But wanted to give my two cents on episode 4. To just talk about the romantic fuckery that was in this episode that was way over the top. The path they seem to be perhaps going down with us believing that Daenerys is now going mad as opposed to her being legitimately mad because of the fuck shit that people are doing after she has sacrificed her family, Ser Jorah, now her best friend, Missandei. She got a right to be mad. No, not mad, crazy, mad, angry. And then Tyrion. I do believe Tyrion. Tyrion. Okay? Clever. Clever. Also clever Tyrion is a rat. So, until the next time, I know you guys will be watching on Sunday just like I will. So we'll see where this goes. But thank you for listening. And I'll see you after episode 5.